When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
My Bruins embarrassed by the Dallas Stars last night, an all-around pathetic effort, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. It is a Patriots Friday, and we will talk with Jelani Tavai, Patriots linebacker, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. There are leads remaining this morning. And let's get to them. Hello, Courtney.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Great opening for my lead, because a rare Bruins lead for me. Them giving up 7 goals last night, Swayman giving up 7 goals last night, and then you go back to October 31st against the Hurricanes, where they gave up 8 goals. That is the first time since 2008 that a Bruins team has given up 7 or more goals in a 15-day span. Now, if you go back to that 31st of October, that was the game that Swayman got pulled. I brought it up to Mike Milbury yesterday. There are some people saying that maybe we kept the wrong guy, or maybe splitting up the two goalies was a bad idea. I'm telling you, you need to keep an eye on this, because it seems like when the Bruins have really struggled out on the ice, Swayman is in goal. It's happened over and over again, and I'm not putting all of the woes that this Bruins team has on Swayman, but I am saying that there was something special about those two being together and giving the reassurance that if you're off one night, you've got another excellent goalie that can step in. I do not think that it's a rust thing, Wiggy, and I don't know how deep into the season you would give Swayman before you say, no, it's not just a rust because he didn't sign and didn't get, you know, the time on the ice that other guys may have gotten. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, there is something up with Swayman. Yeah.
And you don't think it has anything to do with, as you mentioned, the holdout and the missed training camp? And
no, that's why, like, he's gotten enough games under his belt, enough practice under his belt, so it's not a rust thing.
But didn't Montgomery say, did they say this on the broadcast last night, when Montgomery was like, the goalie has kept in a better situation?
Well, no, I just gave you two. I just gave you two examples in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
but
those,
in 2 weeks,
those are two blowout games.
I mean, I heard Montgomery after the game say that he thought about pulling him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe he said that at some point. I don't know. Maybe that was prior to the game he said it. But I
think Swayman is the least of your problems.
I mean, that first goal was on him last night. The rest of them really weren't.
Right.
Like the guys. The D-men are not clearing guys out in front
of
him.
I'm telling you, though, it's always when he is in goal that you're seeing the rest of the team not show up.
Well, that's because the majority of the time he's in goal now that he's your number one.
Okay.
So that's what you're going to see.
All right, Courtney, great lead. Thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I don't know how much I believe this about the Patriots asking around other teams on how to handle a young quarterback.
Couple legit people have been reporting it. So they have been reporting that the Crafts have been calling around seeking advice on the development of Drake May, and perhaps while doing that, inquiring when it comes to offensive coordinator and the future at that position.
If you'd like to hear audio from one of those people reporting it, I have some for you, Greg.
Sure. Who are you going with, Phil Breer?
This is Burt Breer.
Okay.
But they have done some research over the last few weeks on how to handle a young quarterback. And, you know, obviously they failed with Mac Jones from 2021 through 2023. So the Crafts have, you know, asked people and done their homework on how the right way to handle a young quarterback is and how they're going to do that going forward.
Okay.
They didn't fail with Mac. Mac sucked. And sorry, Wiggy, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, rather than calling teams and asking about what you could do with the young quarterback, I think it's very important that you start calling teams and asking about some of their wide receivers. because if you look at the league, I think that that's what Drake May's going to need to really take him to another level. Pick up the phone. I'd call after watching that Philadelphia game last night. I'd call in after the season and I'd inquire about Devonta Smith, the wide receiver, yeah, because he doesn't touch the ball. I'd pick up the phone and
but
call.
That's Elliot Wolf's job, is to be out there. Like, why are they meddling? Like,
I don't know what, you know, and if you believe it, that's, it's a very strange, it's not a good look.
But aren't you doing damage to Jerod Mayo when when you're doing that, calling around behind his back?
Yeah, it's not a, it's not like, a very good look.
What, God, do these people, like, has it ever been clearer that, I don't know, we don't have to do Bill versus Brady, please, I hate that topic, but isn't it apparent to everybody that the Crafts had nothing to do with it? Like, look at them with the dynasty, with Brady and Belichick and all the winning. Like, why would you ever make this public, even if you were doing it? It sounds so amateur.
Do you think they're making it public, or do you think that other around the league, they're saying, wait a minute, the Crafts are calling us about the development of Drake May and what's the best way to develop a young quarterback?
I think that they want to be viewed as proactive.
Yeah, but is that proactive, though? That's not a good look.
Bert Breer is very close with Elliot Wolf. Okay. I trust his sourcing on this. I don't believe he's getting that from other teams.
Can I spin this in a way, in a totally different light?
Sure.
A caller did this for me and Fitzy last night, and I thought it was brilliant. Is this any way that the Crafts are going around asking people if they're doing it the right way, like in arrogance, kind of being like, hey, you think we're doing a good job with our rookie quarterback? No Bill Belichick here. Oh, no problems here. Kind of thing. Like how,
I mean, if that's so petty, if that's what they're doing, Shime, I mean, what a waste of time.
But like, if you're doing it outside of that, like you seem incompetent. So it's either, yeah, but that's way worse. Like, to me, it's either incompetence or arrogance.
It's just, how do you expect Jerod Mayo, who you identified as your head coach 5 years ago, to do his job if you're undercutting him and calling around asking others how he should be developing the quarterback? He's the head coach.
Right, Greg. And we talked to Jerod, and he said he talks to Robert every day almost. Yeah. I don't know
but how. But so did the old coach. And at the same time, the old coach was taught when he was here employed and he was talking to Robert, Robert had to hang the phone up because he had a secret meeting set up with Jerod Mayo.
Right. But I just don't think
let's be honest.
What do you gain if you're Robert from calling and asking around? Like, all it does is put a bad look.
Okay, Wiggy, you are 1,000% right with everything you just said.
Uh-huh.
What does Kraft gain from going on the Charlemagne the God program and tell everybody he indeed fired Bill when he went through the whole song and dance about the mutual parting of ways?
That, I think, is more about, hey, it wasn't just Tom and Bill. I was also a part of it.
No, but he said something that he went out of his way to avoid by doing that stupid press conference with Bill Belichick, and then he joins Charlemagne the God and says, yeah, I fired him. It was time.
Yeah.
Like, he's all over the map because he's lost. He made the wrong decision. He's never been able to get back where he wanted to be before, and now he's so obsessed with Canton, Ohio, that he's making it seem like he's more a part of the development of Drake May than otherwise thought, so that maybe some voter in the next week puts him into Canton.
Wiggy, great lead.
You got it.
And we can talk about that all day long. Michigan is offering 2025 number one recruit and LSU quarterback commit Bryce Underwood $10.5 million
Woo-wee!
To be their quarterback when it comes to NIL. I'm curious what you think about this. So, I was somebody who, and it's probably because I'm a sentimental old head who likes the way things used to be. I was somebody who was concerned about NIL and the effect that it would have on younger players. Here is an 18-year-old coming out of high school who is going to be gifted, should he choose to change his mind and go play for Michigan, $10.5 million. And I would just ask, does this at all water down the talent, potentially in the future, water down the talent that eventually makes it to the NFL because a guy like this gets his $10.5 million, plays college for however long he plays college, and then decides, wait a minute, I already got the $10 million. I don't need to go play NFL football. Or am I being an idiot?
No, I think I wouldn't call you an idiot. I would just say that I think these guys that at that level, all levels, get to college because their goal is to get to the NFL. So even if he is getting $10 million, I don't think he's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to go to the NFL.
A lot of money, though.
I don't think it waters down people going to the NFL. I think it waters down talent. Because are guys going to be working as hard when they're in college, when they're already making $10.5 million?
Well, I think what it does is make more guys say, ooh, if I bust my ass, maybe I can get close to that. But depending
people busted
on
their ass to get into to get their shot at the NFL, and now if
but we're
already,
talking about college, though.
I know, but when you were in college and you weren't making any money,
right? But then, but now these guys know. Like, so the next high school kid who's like, let's call him a sophomore in high school, who's really talented, he sees this kid get that type of money, he might be like, damn, if I bust my ass and I could be one of the best.
In high school.
In high school.
Yes.
I could be that next guy who gets that type of
money. I agree with you. But then when you get to college and you're making $10.5 million, you might take your foot off the gas a little bit. That's what would worry me, is that if you are already considered yourself, you know, a star.
Right.
And you're getting paid like a star, that, you know, nobody could tell you that you're not.
Do we need a salary cap in
no, do we have a salary cap for college coaches?
No.
Doesn't this prove just how much money, with the unpaid labor, the system took advantage of these kids?
Yeah.
Does Kirby Smart coach less strenuously because he makes $12 million a year?
Yeah.
No. $12 million in Athens, Georgia is like a billion here.
But Kirby Smart is of the Greg generation. We're talking about the generation you guys are constantly saying is soft.
Okay. Does Sean McVay not coach hard because he's making $15
million? Sean McVay is also not in the generation that we're saying is soft.
It's a lot of money to give an 18-year-old kid.
Probably in the NILs is probably like something written in there. I don't think it's fully guaranteed.
It's a ton of money. Yeah. He's going to be very popular when he arrives on campus, I'll tell you.
Well, Portnoy said it. Yeah. Portnoy said, listen, I'll go out and I'll give $3 million to a quarterback. So he's a big Michigan guy. And, you know, if you're that talent. Now, the thing is you have to prove it. Look at the kid from Tennessee, the Nico, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, but coming out of high school, he was, like, considered one of those high recruits. You've got to be able to live up to it, Greg.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of money. $10.5 million.
Yep.
You get a big TV with that.
To make the switch to Michigan. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday. Right now, Courtney with what is trending this hour.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins get pummeled in Dallas. 7-2 was the final, with Jeremy Swayman making 31 saves on the night. Former Bruin Tyler Seguin became the first member of the 2010 NHL draft class to hit the 800-point mark. He got 2 points against his former team last night. Brandon Carlo hit the boards from what most are calling a dirty hit by Jamie Benn. Carlo,
extremely dirty.
Yeah.
There's no argument that you can make that, like, I don't understand why that ends up, first of all, being a minor. Secondly, you know the issues that he has had. He is literally defenseless. He actually turned himself around, Carlo, toward the board with his back to Ben so that he wouldn't get hit like that. And he boarded him. He face boarded him. Like, that should absolutely be a 5-minute major. Ridiculous.
He did go off the ice, brought back to the dressing room, but did return to the ice later.
That was good that he returned.
Yeah. Here's what Jim Montgomery had to say about that.
Yeah, he's a tough competitor. You know, one thing about Brando is he wears his heart out there on the ice, and he's a Bruin.
Just one quick note, too. Courtney had mentioned Tyler Seguin getting to 800 points out of the 2010 class. Can you believe Connor McDavid, drafted five years later, just hit 1,000 points?
Yeah. Imagine that.
It's unbelievable.
Can he get to 1,900 and pass Gretzky? That's going to be the next thing that everybody's going to be looking at.
The Bees are off tonight before welcoming the Blues to the Garden tomorrow. It's a doubleheader at the TD Garden. That Bruins game is at 1, and then a quick turnover for the Seas. They've got the Raptors at 8. The Eagles are 8-2 on the season. They beat the Commanders in Thursday Night Football. 26-18 was the final. It's a Patriots Friday. We're going to talk to Jelani Tavai this morning as the Pats won last weekend, and they've got a matchup with the Rams at 1 p.m. on Sunday at Gillette. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul will fight tonight on Netflix. That starts at 8 p.m. And head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a three-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow roasted prime rib, two sides, and a free three-course meal upgrade. Available Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 31 degrees, cloudy in Boston. Afternoon high, partly cloudy, 54.
And Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by FindMassMoney.gov. Hey, Jelani, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Congratulations on being a father.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
How many diapers have you changed so far?
About half.
Okay.
About half as much. Luckily, I'm experienced in changing diapers since I had a lot of younger brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Was there ever a question that you weren't going to make the game last Sunday after it? That's a quick turnaround for you to get on a flight, get to Chicago, and play there.
I mean, if baby was born on Sunday or Saturday, yeah, I probably would have missed it. But I was doing my best to, you know, get things rolling, I guess. But, you know, it was a blessing that I was able to, be a part of both the win and to see my daughter be born.
Well, and glad you made it. Right. You got your first sack on the season on Sunday. So congrats on that.
Yeah.
Well, say goodbye to the sleep.
Yeah, I'm learning that quickly.
Right. When you look at, obviously, I think the biggest thing we look at as fans is, you know, can you guys put another one back together? Can you put another win back to back? What's the mindset in that locker room of coming out and showing, you know, not just – you're obviously showing yourselves in that locker room that, hey, we can win multiple games in a row coming out against a good Rams team this Sunday.
That's been our focus since probably Wednesday. You know, making sure that we stack our wins, whether it's just us being dialed in and focused and like preparing just as we did this past week, but. You know, it's really important to us because, you know, that way we can, I think once you stack the next win and the next win, it becomes like contagious, and you just get that adrenaline to want to win. And, you know, that's something that we have to learn to do.
Christian Barmore back at practice yesterday. Nice to have him back.
Yeah, it's great to have him back. He's he's one of the, I don't know if you guys ever talked to him, but he's a character, man. He's one of a kind, and I'm happy to have him back in there.
You've got a Rams team that's on a short week. They've got to fly across the country to play you guys on Sunday, but you also have a veteran quarterback in Matthew Stafford. How difficult will he be when you face him?
You know, he still got it, you know, so our biggest job is to make sure that we, like, as a defense, we got to communicate, you know. He's going to try and put them in the best situation possible for their offense, and we just got to make sure that our communication's on point with each other, and that way there's no hole shot for him to, you know, thread the ball in. So, and then on top of that, we just got to make sure that we continue to tackle well. You know, when we do those things, you know, it turns out pretty nicely. So, I know the D-line's going to do their thing, and but it's just, we're just excited, you know, we're excited to get back out there, regardless who the opponent is, but yeah.
Jelani, you guys did a tremendous job against the run, the pass. You were physical defensively. You got after the quarterback. Those were the expectations, I think, that a lot of us expected from this defense this season. There's been a lot of inconsistency. What do you think has been the biggest issue to you guys and the fact that you've been so inconsistent, especially on defense?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't know. I don't know. It's more of just, like, you kind of took my answer right there. We just we show at times that we can do it, but I'm not sure. I think when times get hard in games, we have to fall back to our fundamentals, and sometimes, we don't. So I think that's one of the biggest things, just relying on our fundamentals when the games get longer.
Jelani, our very own Courtney, and others in Boston are talking about this playoff push for the New England Patriots. Only two games out of the wild card, seven games to go. You guys got you're going to cowboy up here. Do you have any like a tagline? Don't let us win today. Do you guys have any of that? As you look to win your third game in four tries this Sunday.
I mean, our goal is to win regardless. That's been our North Star. And we're going to focus on winning one week at a time and one day at a time, really, And so far we've been doing well on our preparation for the Rams. And, we can't really think that far. We got to take this one game at a time.
Well, Jelani, I'm all in because I'm buying what Keon White was selling when he was asked what was clicking for the defense last week and said, this is a young team and we're figuring out how to play together and that's what you guys are seeing now. Do you co-sign that? Is that you guys just spending the first half of the season figuring each other out and now you feel like you've gotten there?
I can relate with that, yeah, definitely. You said a good point, I'm gonna ask you guys a question. How many of us are like returners? Like how many like on defense? There's about what? Three of us? Four of us?
You, Duggar, Dedrick Wise, I would say.
Gonzalez.
Quale, yeah. Yeah. But Gonzo played what, five games last year?
Yeah. Before he got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, Keon made a great point because it's when we're all on the same page and that chemistry is like on point. We put it out there, last week. So I know that was last week and this is a whole new week, but that's something that we have to have as our standard, And I know the guys have it in the back of their mind that that's our standard now, and we got to beat that standard every week. So that's going to be a goal of the whole defense.
Will your daughter be there Sunday, or too soon to take her out of the house?
Man, it's too cold out here now for little baby.
That's way too soon.
We're Islanders, man. We got soft skin. We gotta toughen it up.
All right. Well, go get them. And I know you got a meeting to get to, so we appreciate you taking the time. On a Patriots Friday, Jelani Tavai. There he is. New dad, Jelani Tavai.
Well, if they can keep up the pressure like they had last week, because that's what wins games, and that's what will get Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford will give you some opportunities, especially if you pressure him for interceptions.
Yeah, but they have a much better line.
You're going to have to win your – Bears win your one-on-one.
That line was awful.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to win your one-on-ones, and, I think you have a good secondary that can, cover, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. But if they can get after the quarterback and do the things, because that was our expectations, like I told them, I think we all expected that this defense would be one of the better defenses, and he just said when things get close is when they kind of get away from doing the small things.
To Wiggy's point, too, Matthew Stafford has a 0% scramble rate this year. That means he has not scrambled once on a single play all year. So he is absolutely gettable in the backfield.
All right. Well, it's a Patriots Friday, and you will hear from the New England Patriots all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are going to get to They Said It next, a back and forth on what they said yesterday, including who Jim Montgomery says is the player that he continues to have an issue with. We'll get to that and the rest of They Said It coming up next.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right. right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. Where do you want to start, Sean?
Well, Greg, I guess we can start here. The Bruins were awful last night.
Pathetic.
They lost 7-2.
Pathetic.
It has been such a struggle to watch them at times this year. Well, one of the guys who the coaches seem to have a problem with for a while now is David Pastrnak. That continued after the game last night when he was asked about Pasta.
When Cass is just not being connected to him, what is the reason for that?
The number one reason would be being prepared to know what you're going to do with the puck before you get it.
Yeah. I mean, I assume he's talking about, well, maybe I shouldn't assume, but the giveaway in the neutral zone last night, like trying to get fancy with it and flip it. I talked about the back check earlier on the lack thereof, the lack of effort, because there was 10 seconds left in the period or whatever, so he's already getting ready to go in and eat an energy bar. But it's not just him. I mean, I don't know. Like, who would you look when you look at that game last night, Shime? You and I were texting about it all night. Like, who would you say was engaged and I mean,
I thought Beersy played well.
Zadorov, just because he beat the bag out of Jamie Benn.
I appreciate that. But
he's the only person that gets credit.
He couldn't get the puck out of the net on that.
He has struggled all year.
That same goal, like it's like these soft passes, like clear the puck.
I mean, can we all agree they want Monty gone? Or at the very least, they don't care if he loses his job.
It doesn't seem like they do, Curtis. They're certainly not playing for him, for his job.
Nah.
So
it's just I don't know what it is. I don't know, you know, because clearly they played for the guy, you know, last year and the year before. I don't know what it is that this team. It's just they look disengaged. They don't have the talent. So maybe it's, you know, you brought it up. Maybe it's not on Monty. Maybe this team just isn't good. And the talent that they have is kind of getting exposed. You know, because Milbury talked about it yesterday.
I mean, did you screw with the chemistry? Like, you brought up Zadorov, the other Lindholm, I mean, did he somehow screw with the chemistry or something?
I don't know that they screwed with the chemistry, but I don't think they accounted for exactly what they were putting into the new lineup. Like, it's because you signed Lindholm to play with Pastrnak, theoretically, and yet it feels like they have barely played together, or when they have, there hasn't been much success. It's been if you're going to sign a guy to be your number one center, he should, I don't know, be able to play with your best offensive player.
Yeah. And your best offensive players have kind of struggled, whether it's Pasta, whether it's Marchand. They've kind of struggled all year long, you know?
I did will a goal for Charlie Coyle last night, though.
Yes.
That was a
great
nice
job
goal
for Coyle.
During my discussion with Mike Milbury yesterday. So
you changed your will. Wow, big news.
All right, what's next?
So let's bounce back to Wiggy's lead a little bit here. He talked about the reports that the Crafts are asking around if they're handling their young quarterback properly. Tom Curran was on this very station yesterday afternoon talking about those reports.
They are doing it, and I think that's the due diligence you should engage in when you watch your young quarterback who's a third overall pick, and you understand, as Robert Kraft has said to me, coach and quarterback are the two things that you need to succeed in the league, period, end of story. So if that's the case, and you think you have a keeper in Drake May, which on many levels I think they do, he's going to be here for the rest of the decade, Lord willing, it seems. So you want to make sure that the network around him is as good as it can be. We understand that the Patriots blew things up with Bill and really didn't have a succession plan in place because they did it a year earlier than they anticipated because of the results of 2023. So if Alex Van Pelt was not your first pick and you've hired him, you should, as the end of that year comes right now, say, what do we want to do going forward?
It's two different things. Calling around and asking about the way in which they are developing the quarterback, to me, is a direct insult to Jerod Mayo.
Yes.
If you're calling around and trying to find out who might be available when it comes to an OC next season, then I mean, I feel like that all of this should be either the job of Elliot Wolf or Gerard Mayo, but if that's the way, I don't know how they operate, and
but even
whether
you...
that's common for Robert Kraft or Jonathan or whoever's doing it to be calling around asking about, you know, midseason about who's available next season. I don't know.
Does this change your opinion or what you've heard, Curtis, about the fact that AVP is not going anywhere?
Yes. No, it does not change it. No.
It does not.
No, I think this is a way to CYA that you're trying to make it appear like, no, we're not asking how to do this. We're just making sure we're going to find the best coach for him.
Yeah, but like when you look at the body of work, Alex Van Pelt looks like he's having success like making Drake May better, right?
And
like,
isn't this bad for AVP? But... if you're hearing these reports and you know that it's probably getting leaked from somebody on the inside... and you're hearing that the Crafts are calling around about who's available.
Is it
ADP,
available, or is it just calling around, how do we handle a young quarterback? I don't think they were calling asking who's available. I think they're just calling and say, hey, listen, we got this young
quarterback. But isn't that why you designated Gerard Mayo as your head coach 5 years ago? Because... you saw in him mm-hmm. that he had what it took to be a head right. coach in the NFL, and like it's
a bad look.
It's
for
just
me.
So it's pathetic, Greg. Like all these people, I'm sure we can play sound to Tommy Kraft. I mean Tommy Curran talking about how the Krafts are not making football decisions. It's incongruent. So now you're saying they're not making football decisions, but they're calling around asking other people in the NFL what they should do with their quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad...
it's like you calling around to Reiner and asking right. the proper way to do a forecast.
Right.
Like,
you know, when I see a beaver, I report it. I don't just say it's a beaver moon.
Right. When you see a beaver moon, a full beaver moon,
right.
you identify it and report it.
I don't look to confirm the size of the beaver moon
correct.
With Jeremy Reiner.
Correct.
Lady Jade sent in a photo of a beaver moon.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh. NSFW, my lord.
All right.
Queen of the Twitch.
Did not know that.
Yep.
A beaver needs to cross its legs.
Oh, gosh.
Is that a male or female beaver?
Does it matter? No.
I mean, nowadays in society, they gotta identify it something.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Shime?
I know Wiggy's excited for the Tyson-Paul fight tonight. Uh-huh. Yesterday at like the weigh-in, Mike Tyson decided to slap Jake Paul. That was a whole kerfuffle. Here is what Jake Paul said after Mike Tyson's slap of him.
I didn't even feel it. He's angry. He's an angry little elf. Mike Tyson, I thought that was a cute slap, buddy, but tomorrow you're getting knocked the f*** out. I'm f***ing him up, Ariel. I'm f***ing him up. He hits like a bitch. It's personal now. It's personal now. He must die.
Jeez.
Okay. Jake Paul's angry, ain't he?
Really hyping it up there.
I mean, it's why is this veering in the WWE direction?
That's how you get eyes.
Yeah, that's the vibe entertainment. I'm getting. That's the vibe.
It's exactly like the WWE.
100%.
It is the WWE.
Yeah, you just got to be careful with Mike. You remember him on that airplane? The guy was just asking to take a selfie with him, and he literally snapped in 5 seconds.
I know. You never know when he's going to get hungry and want to eat your ear off.
Yeah,
like,
so
you
it's...
You never know
what
Mike Tyson...
It's like, Mike, hey, listen, we got it all scripted out. Here's what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden he doesn't like the way...
he
doesn't like the way you look at him, and then he snaps and forget about
so
it.
So it's funny Wiggy mentions that, because so there's Mike Tyson who snaps, and then there's nihilist Mike Tyson who says this to a little girl when asked about his legacy.
Well, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die, and it's going to be over. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something.
Yeah.
That poor little girl's like one of those kid reporter things.
Yeah.
She's like 10. And at the end of the interview, he starts dropping F-bombs right in her face.
If you look at her hand, like that's her left hand, it's shaking. Like, it's so sick.
I would be too.
It's why I said when you interview Mike Tyson, the one thing that I think a lot of people love about Mike Tyson is he'll say whatever's on his mind. Like, he doesn't care who he's talking about. And he just like... legacy for what? I'm going to be dead.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive someday.
He's all like right. Missoula.
Well, thank you, Shime. That is They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And Courtney, with today's news, coming up next. Coming up at 8:20, there is one thing that concerns me about the lengthy meeting that he had with the Boston Red Sox, and we will get to that in about a half an hour on a Patriots Friday here at WEEI. Monday, it's Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium with Gerard Mayo and Boomer Esiason on this show on Monday, but right now this.
It's time for...
No longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house.
The news.
It's on your laptop, then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Do a fingerprint or something instead of you having to see my boobs.
Yeah. Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI. What do you
think they would say? Guys, it's happening. The Supreme Court in Mass has ruled that the John hearings stemming from that brothel bust here in Mass last November have to be open to the public.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, this is juicy.
This is going to be good.
Going to get your popcorn ready for this one.
So those guys have to be identified.
Yes.
In public.
Correct.
Those who are utilizing the services of a lady of the evening.
Yes.
As one might say in polite company.
Right. Yeah. If you forgot that story, last November, 3 people were arrested and accused of running the sex ring out of upscale apartment buildings in Cambridge, Dedham, Watertown, as well as one in Virginia. The public hearings are expected to be scheduled for late January or early February. So we still have to wait like a month or two. Uh-huh. But
let's play a game. Guess the guy. No, I'm kidding. But
I was going to ask, when do you think the Johns informed the wife? Was it yesterday, or they've been probably waiting for the ruling, and so now
they're hoping they don't get subpoenaed.
All I know is where my parents are is about a 5-minute drive from Orchids of Asia, and when that thing broke down, there were a lot of people walking around the premises by themselves.
I'm sure there were, yeah.
But wasn't there someone politically that was rumored to be part of this list?
They say that there were 2 brothels. One was here, one was near Washington, D.C., so they say that the Johns, they were politicians, lawyers,
medical professionals,
all kinds of prominent people. But I don't know if the politicians were from around here or they were mostly at the Washington, D.C. one.
Probably so. Washington, D.C., the Virginia one that was close to D.C. But they're saying that there's like tech CEOs.
Really?
So I would imagine that's going to be more of the Boston
one. Okay, I can't wait. When do we find out?
January, February.
Okay. All right. Keep us posted.
Yep. Annie Dunleavy, a special education teacher in Connecticut, has resigned after feeling the heat because of what she had been posting and saying about Trump voters and supporters. This is not good. Okay. So she posted on Snapchat.
Okay.
We have some audio of that.
What she was saying about those who decided to vote in an election in the United States of America.
Correct.
How she felt about them.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
People of color and poor people and gay people and all the people that I care about aren't going to be safe in America. Neither the you guys. Just because you won doesn't mean we don't remember who the you voted for. You're not in the clear. Please don't test your gangster on me because you will end on a stretcher. Gone forever. So serious. Nobody talk to me unless you want to swing. If you want to fight, text me, call me, whatever. Anybody else, stay the out of my face.
Real nice. So she's, and that's a teacher, or was a teacher.
Middle school special education teacher.
So she resigned. They obviously put the pressure on her, and she resigned.
Yeah. And now she's talking on news stations.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she has a bit of a different tone.
Oh, she has a different tone now?
Yeah, okay, we have a bit of that. Yeah.
It sounds very extreme, and again, I was in a moment of high emotions, and I shouldn't have ever posted the video. But what I really, the message I was trying to get across, and it came off very wrong, was, you know, if this is going to give people the almost permission in their minds to enact violence against women or anybody. I wanted to basically just say, like, I'm not going to go down without a fight. I mean, you know, it's my life's dream to be a teacher. I consider those kids my kids because I don't have any of my own.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Has it ever dawned on everybody that the people that demand others be the most accepting are the least accepting themselves?
We have an election every 4 years when it comes to the presidency in this company. And the for a long time, the party whose candidate didn't end up winning would suck it up and would not be running around threatening people. So I just...
And Giants fan 44 in the Twitch chat gets the moron of the day. Freedom of speech for the idiots has nothing to do with this. Freedom of speech prevents you from government intervention. Correct. Not from your employer firing you.
Right.
God, people are stupid. Just like that idiot racist owner of the Clippers, the freedom of speech, he was free to say those things, but the NBA was right to get rid of him.
Well, I would assume, I'm not a teacher. My daughter, Julia Hill, is one.
Uh-huh.
But your objective as a teacher is to make sure that the students that you're teaching...
Right.
Keep an open mind about everything. There's not a place for advocating violence and killing somebody based on who they voted.
The problem is that now we're so kind of sensitive in America that people don't know how to handle their emotions when things don't go their way.
They think there's no repercussion for saying things on social media.
Well, yeah, because
that's what it is.
Everybody goes to the kind of the freedom of speech thing. So,
all right, we got to take a break.
Okay.
We will get to the rest of Courtney's news coming up next.